Alexis and I need the car. We're running some errands for the store today.
Since when?
Since I need your help for a pickup, and Mom clearly already has a lift, and I'm pretty sure parents are supposed to put their children before themselves.
Oh, really? No, if airplane safety videos have taught me anything, David, it's that a mother puts her own mask on first.
Ah, see? And that's precisely why we have the sign-out sheet for this kind of dispute.
Okay, fine. Now, my name is on the list, and there is a sheep farm that's expecting us in 20 minutes for a pickup of some wool throws.
No. Your mother already expressed a verbal intention to use the car.
Okay, we're gonna have the car back in a few hours.
Okay, well, I might need it for a few hours after that, though.
Fine, we'll just keep it for the day.
John?
You people are abusing the system. It's not a difficult system. Moira, look at this. Under purpose of trip, he writes, driving.
To another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Shits Creek podcast where every other week we talk about a different episode of the series, and we're going through the series in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good. Ready to talk about Season 3, Episode 9.
Ready to go to some sort of motel No, not motel
conference, municipalities? That is always a hard word for me to say.
It's not easy.
Municipalities conference.
Yes. It wouldn't have anything to do with the motel. What am I talking about? Yeah, so we are here.
We're already batting 1,000 with accuracy.
We're doing great.
Yep.
So yeah, we're here to talk about the 9th episode of Season 3, The Affair. The original air date of this episode was March 7th, 2017. It is directed by T.W. Peacock, we've heard from before. Mm-hmm. And it was written by David West Reed, who we've heard from before. So if you're really interested in digging deep, and by digging deep, I mean like what I found out on IMDb, you can go back to prior episodes, find out all that information. Let's open up in the parents' room, where there is apparently a sign-out sheet for using the car.
Oh, totally.
That nobody's been using but Johnny.
Right. Yes. Yeah, Moira is looking for the car keys.
Mm-hmm.
And so Johnny immediately goes to the sign-out sheet and realizes that, well, I had it last. And then, yeah, he comes to learn very quickly that he's the only one that's using the sign-out sheet. And pretty much everybody else just takes it as they need to.
Well, he's not the only one using it. Stevie's name's on the sheet.
Right, yeah, who has her own car, so it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, why is Stevie using this?
Yeah.
But it is very polite that when Stevie uses it, she uses the sign-out sheet.
Oh, totally. She signs it out.
Yeah. But I can only assume at some point he's so proud of this sign-up sheet, he must have mentioned it to Stevie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their morning meetings or whatever they do in the morning there around the desk.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of back and forth between who's going to be using it and whatnot. Because as Moira says, she cannot go to this conference with Roland. She can't ride in the truck
for 4 hours
with Leonard Skinner, right, and Roland.
That would be terrible. Going to Thornbridge, which is a new, we haven't really heard about Thornbridge before, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Not that I recall, because it's not an elm place.
No.
Although, was when they discussed golf courses, was there a Thornbridge? I'm just thinking of that now, and I'm not sure.
I don't know, because they made up the name of a golf course.
That is true. And they did reference, you know, other courses and stuff like that. So I don't recall. They went to the Elmwood Golf Club to have their meeting, but then they referenced that they had already met with Maple Grove.
Yeah, but this place is 4 hours away.
True.
I mean, I don't, this is not...
Yeah, this is not their normal hangout, I guess.
Yeah, I think if they're talking about, you know, whether they're at local golf courses, I don't know if one that's 4 hours away would
make that list. Like, then I just started thinking, maybe we have heard this before. Am I not remembering accurately?
Well, people can let us know. People let us know that it's... And we were so dumb not to think of this.
Well, Right, of course. It's not miles per hour. It's kilometers per hour. But yeah, like, it didn't even occur to me.
Either because we're in Canada, but we're not in Canada, but we're also in Canada, but we might not be in Canada. But we're also in Canada, but we might not be in Canada. So I don't...
That's a lot.
That's what makes it very confusing. Right. We're looking at Canadian license plates sometimes, but other times it's tough to tell.
Yeah, but it did. I didn't really even think about that.
Sure. No, of course. No,
ignorant Americans that we are.
But that's why we need people to point this stuff out to us.
Because we do the best we can.
We do the best we can.
Right. We do the best we can.
Right.
You know, we just are just enjoying watching and we're not going to catch everything.
I don't think we need to make excuses for what we do here.
Okay.
But they're not the only two fighting about the car. Because, of course, David comes in, needs the car because unbeknownst to Alexis, she's going helping with him.
Right, for errands for the store. They have to go to a sheep farm.
Right.
I wonder if it's the same sheep farm that Ted went to.
Oh, boy. I don't know.
When he got headbutted.
I'm sure all these questions will be answered in future episodes.
You know, and Moira tries to say parents always should put themselves before their children,
it's because airplane videos
if they've taught her nothing, it's that a mother always puts on her mask first.
Yep. I love how it's airplane videos and not, you know, flight attendants, because flight attendants still do that, right? I mean, we haven't been on a plane in a while, but it's not like it's been 20 years.
No.
And I think flight attendants
show you how to put them on.
Do they show you a video?
I think they do.
Okay.
Yeah, but and then they I remember them standing there like pointing to exits.
Okay.
But they will show you how to put it on.
You're probably watching.
But I think you're watching and listening. An accompanying video. Yeah.
Well, I'm
sure that's the way Larry Ayer does it, which we'll hear more about later on.
Okay. All right. So, basically, I guess David ends up taking the car.
Well, he signs up as he's standing there and they're arguing, to which Moira asks, it's literally like children fighting, because she like looks at him and like her mouth drops open and she like points with her hand like, look at what he's doing.
Yep.
But yeah, so he signs it up so they can head to their sheep farm. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, Alexa said, but I was going to need the car later. And he's like, then why don't we just keep the car for the day? And apparently you have to not just sign your name, but also the purpose of your trip, reason.
The joke of punctuating this scene with when Johnny looks and goes, look what he wrote, purpose of trip, driving.
Yeah.
He already explained they need to go to a sheep farm.
Right.
All right. So that's how the episode opens.
Yes.
And now we are into this conference. We get none of the travel.
No.
We assume it probably wasn't great.
Roland's already there when Moira comes in, so I am curious how she got there.
Let's just say Stevie drove her. Who knows? We'll fill in the blanks the way that we...
Right? Like, it didn't seem like... They didn't walk in together.
No, they didn't walk
unless
in together.
Unless they went in and she, like, went to her room first and then came down. So, yeah, we don't really know.
There's a chance they threw their stuff in the rooms and was like, well, let's meet down here later.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
At Ramk.
Yes.
Which is a very difficult thing to say.
Yeah, it is hard to say. But yeah, so as they're there, it's like Roland wants to give Moira the lay of the land.
Oh, of course.
Point out all the important people. He points out the mayor who's serving drinks, or it could be the caterer.
It's clearly someone who works there.
Right.
Which is great. And then he says, well, maybe it's that other guy. And that guy works there too. They're dressed exactly the
same.
Right,
yeah.
It's pretty fun. But I do like how Moira says she knows how to work a room and work a crowd.
Because... She's even hosted the non-televised portion of the People's Choice Awards.
So we get this sort of introduction to what Ramk is and the fact that they're just kind of hanging around a hotel lobby.
Mm-hmm.
the majority of this, or a conference room or something like that.
Yeah, it sounds like they haven't gone into their official meeting portion of their conference
yet. I'm not really sure what the meeting portion of this conference is.
Like, I don't know
it's
either.
It's just a bunch of He makes reference
at one point about... I don't know that I wrote it down, but he does make reference to what they're... could be meeting about, like what kind of salt, I think, like salting. Yes.
Now we do jump back and forth from Ramk to
quite frequently. David's there's a store. Lot of back and forth, I think, in this episode. Yeah, we jump to David and Alexis at the store.
Yeah, we kind of, I mean, that's the entirety of this episode, right? It's just from Ramk to the store.
And John Johnny. He's there a little bit.
He's there a little bit just to basically be on the phone later on.
But yeah, so we head to the store first. Mm-hmm. It seems like David's really kind of getting settled in. Like he's starting to bring products in and put out, you know, things to get the store all ready.
I mean, it's leaps and bounds from when we last saw it. I mean, there's tables and there's counter space, and there was none of this last time we saw it. It was just a big open empty
room
space.
With a chair. Yeah.
But yes, now he's bringing in products and everything like that.
Yep. So Alexis is supposed to help him, but she's really not much help.
No, I like how she wants to have her own brand
off
of his brand, where she sells hair feathers and body jewelry.
Yeah, a label. She wants to have a label under his. But yeah, she's supposed to like get hand cream. She also is sampling all of the products, which are not really samples. Like she's just sort of opening things up and trying everything out. But yeah, so they are kind of getting things situated and he's trying to get her to help out and get stuff done.
Right.
And who should show up but Patrick dropping off David's business license.
A framed business license. Yes. He quickly says that they come that way. Because Alexis thinks it's adorable that it's framed.
Right.
But David, not so much. He's relieved when he says that it came framed because the frame is a little too corporate
for him. Yeah. Yeah, but and this is the first meeting between Alexis and Patrick because they have not met. Mm-hmm. She introduces herself as David's sister and also his life coach. Which I thought was really funny. So we kind of get to see and she instantly is interested and starts like a little flirtatious back and forth with Patrick right away.
Of course. Yes.
Yep. As soon as she sees that there's a man in this town that she hasn't met yet.
Yes, exactly.
She's on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also she's there to get him to move the boxes for her and to do most of the work
that
David just asked her to do.
Right.
And he seems more than willing to do to hang around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's either that or go back to Ray's, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
So now we go back to
the conference.
We go back
to Ramp. Like they finished their meeting in the conference room or in the auditorium or not an auditorium, their meeting room, I guess.
So there's a reporter too?
Well, they kind of all spill out and
Moira's
this reporter.
A big deal.
Oh, Moira has made a huge splash. Yeah. Everyone wants to talk to her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is like a reporter that's, you know, interviewing the Ramk. I can't even say it. The Ramk guest.
No, there's no P. It's just Ramk.
Ramk. I still think I say a P.
I think you do too.
All right. Well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this person is like interviewing people. So instantly goes to Moira, wants to talk a little bit with her. And kind of as soon as Roland steps in, the reporter leaves.
It's kind of a fun scene too, because she's trying to interview Moira, but Roland seems to want to answer every question. So she keeps pushing the microphone back to him, but wanting to pull it back to Moira, but he's constantly interrupting.
Yes.
But no, I mean, she is a TV star, a celebrity that it now is. I don't know that they've ever had a celebrity at Ramk. I don't know who's, you know, who they're bringing in to warm up the crowd or anything like that.
Yeah,
but this is a really big deal for them.
Yes, and everybody's calling for the other attendees want Moira to join them in the Diamond Club.
Oh my God. And this is a joke. I thought it was way funnier than maybe you did or something. I love how somebody mentions the Diamond Club and she's like, that sounds great. And Roland's response is, yeah, it's the hotel bar.
Yeah. Where they can get sparkling white Russians.
Right.
And you have to get down there quickly before it curdles. Get it down quickly.
Yes.
Before it curdles. So, which is super gross.
There are a couple interesting little characters in this episode. Let's first talk about this reporter, because I had to do some serious research on this person.
Oh, okay.
The reporter is played by J.C. Kenney, not J.C. Penny.
Oh, okay.
Her first IMDb credits are in 1997. She has 83 IMDb credits. In every single one, she is a newscaster or reporter.
Wow.
And I was like, that's so specific. Yeah. So I went to her LinkedIn. She is currently the director of communications for the city of Kingston, Ontario.
Oh.
But before that, since 99, and she still does it, she is a news correspondent for the CBC.
Okay.
So she has a
she's
ton
legit.
Of, yeah, she's been in movies like Pacific Rim, Urban Legend, Assault of Precinct 13 remake, as well as the Mariah Carey vehicle, Glitter.
Oh.
She played reporters in all these. She was on TV shows like Monk, Warehouse 13, and a few episodes of The Strain. So those are shows we talked about before. And again, reporter in every one. It's amazing. So
all right.
Yeah. So let's go back to the store very quickly. Because Alexis did get Patrick to sort of move the boxes and everything like that. And she's very busy, though, I guess, using the unisex Mennonite cologne.
Yeah.
Very specific products here. And I do...
They also make reference at one point... Well, maybe it's not here. Oh, the lip balm is later, I think.
It is later, yeah.
They make reference to that as well.
But this is kind of funny, too, because... As I said, she got Patrick to move the boxes. And I love how David says, thank you, Patrick. And Alexis says, you're welcome. But it's just, it's sort of just more of them.
Oh, of Alexis totally like flirting with him.
Exactly.
And yeah, definitely.
So now we fast forward in time. I don't know how long, because now we're back at Ramk. And it seems like Moira may have had several of those sparkling white Russians.
Right. Yes. You can hear she's on the phone with Johnny having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
All of the attendees at the conference are totally wasted.
Wow.
That are, you know, around her, in the vicinity of her as she is on the phone.
Yeah.
In fact, when they ask her, who are you talking to? And she said, my husband, they all boo him.
They boo. It's really great.
Right. And Johnny's like, what did I do?
Yeah.
And and he kind of says to her, I think maybe it's time for a coffee. Right. Cause he can tell like clearly that she is definitely drunk. And she just kind of like hangs up on him.
Yep.
Oblivious.
Yeah.
And she just sort of like heads off to continue partying with all of her newfound friends.
You don't get a lot of physical comedy from any of these people in the show, except maybe, you know, Roland. But I like it in such a subtle touch when she hangs up the phone, the cord's wrapped around her arm, and she just turns and starts walking and drags the phone with
drags
her.
The receiver, yeah.
So there are two conference attendees who are credited here. There's a guy and a woman. Let's start with the woman because she's listed higher in the episode. Her name is Elizabeth Saunders. Her first IMDb credit is in 1987. She's been on shows called Kung Fu, The Legend Continues, Goosebumps, Orphan Black, Rookie Blue, and The Strain, along with
countless other people.
And she was in the new It movie. I don't know if she plays one of the kids' parents or something like that. But guess what we did? I buried the lead on this woman because between 1997 and 2004, she was the voice of Mrs. Turtle in Franklin. She was the voice of the mother.
How about that?
In Franklin, yes. I thought that was really great because it was
super cute.
Right? There was another guy in last episode who did voices on Franklin. So
right.
It's
besides
like,
Noah Reed. It was, was it the motel guest?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very. Oh, I was so excited then to look up the next guy because it was like, maybe he was the father. He wasn't.
No?
It's not as exciting. But this conference attendee is played by Martin Doyle. His first credit is in 1980. He was also on Kung Fu, The Legend Continues, also on Goosebumps, In La Femme Nikita, mm-hmm. Warehouse 13, The Girlfriend Experience, and Designated Survivor most recently.
Okay.
And that really, those are the guest stars mm-hmm. of this episode. There's right. no one else that happens to pop in here, even though there's plenty of extras in the background of these scenes. Mm-hmm. So now I think we should move into the main... It sounds strange to say, like, the main arc of this episode takes us this long.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of time to kind of get to it. Yeah.
And then it's wrapped up so quick. Like, mm-hmm. It's such a strange thing. And not that I would want this to become a two-part episode or something. Because I know we sort of need all of Ramk to lead up to this. Mm-hmm. But the fact that this appears to be such a quote-unquote big deal... Mm-hmm. And it's in, like, the last 10 minutes of the episode. It's such a strange structure for this mm-hmm. one, I thought.
Yeah.
But it's the next day.
Next morning.
The next morning.
Yes.
Of course. And Roland and Moira basically wake up in the same hotel room.
Right.
And I like how Moira yells at him to get out of her room. And he's mm-hmm. like, this is my room, lady.
Right, yeah. And she's just sort of, it's kind of funny, too. The way her head is at, like, the foot of the bed, basically, and everything. And he's, you know, like, normal, like, head's on a pillow. You know, she obviously, you can tell immediately, she's fully clothed. Mm-hmm. He's obviously a naked Roland shit, as they refer to later on in the episode. Yes. And she's kind of like, how did I get here? What's going on? he said, you know, they were partying, and then he came up to his room, and she was pounding on the door demanding the salmon plate.
Yep.
So it sounds like she headed to his room.
Yes. And it also sounds like she has had... way more to drink than he, like, mm-hmm. he seems to have had his wits about him that entire evening, I mm-hmm. guess. It's not like they both woke up and neither knows what's going on here.
Right, right.
He's aware of everything much more than she was. She does freak out when she realizes that he is naked and he's mm-hmm. like, this is my bed. This is not my issue here.
Yes.
If people are listening and you're hearing things that you don't normally hear... A little peek behind the curtain. I'm doing stuff in our basement, and I removed all the drop ceiling so we can hear...
all of the movement upstairs.
Our kids walking and dragging chairs, so... if you're not hearing anything, great, but boy, am I hearing everything.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you get to hear the jingle of our dog's collar. You know, there's always fun things happening around here that make it difficult for us to do this every week.
Sure.
So...
yeah. Yeah, we still have not found the perfect day or time to record when there's no distractions whatsoever.
There's always a distraction in our house. Yeah.
The most quiet time was one time we started recording at like 11 p.m., but mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. That was so late. Now, we're back in Schitt's Creek, and Roland walks into the cafe.
Johnny. Yes.
And...
he sees Jocelyn with her sunglasses on. Yeah, I guess she wants to hide her puppy crying eyes.
I guess so.
Yeah. And to which, you know, when he greets her, she said, it's been a morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I also like the fact that apparently at this point, Roland and Moira are back home. Like, they're already back.
Oh, I don't think they're back yet. I think maybe they're en route.
I thought they were because
I think John references or somebody references that they talked to them in the morning.
Yeah, I thought
it was via phone. Maybe they are.
You might be
I don't
right
know.
Then. All right.
Because why wouldn't she be with him? Like, I just assume, like, I don't know. I assumed
sure
that they were en route.
Okay.
But I could be
wrong. Because I'm sure it was a big deal and she was really mad.
Yeah. But I would think Moira would be with Johnny. I guess.
Yeah.
Unless she was too hungover
She's
to come
really
eat.
She's really hungover.
But they go to the cafe really hungover quite often.
Oh, yeah. You're
remember?
Right. Yep.
Hollandaise sauce.
Of course.
In a bowl on the side. Right. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I assumed they were en route and had not yet returned. But I could be wrong.
This is where Jocelyn informs Johnny that... oh, he's dealing with this news so much better than she is.
And he has no idea what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm. And she informs him that Moira and Roland slept together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I love how his instant reaction is to kind of just laugh. there's no way this possibly happened.
There's no way, right.
But the more she kind of talks about it, not that he suddenly mm-hmm. believes this, but he is a little bit like, oh, that's really weird that she didn't mention.
Right. Yeah. And he was like, you know, and they said, like, Roland said nothing happened. They just slept in the bed.
Yep.
You know, and then, yeah, because Jocelyn kind of says, like, well, Moira, it sounds like really, Moira really hid this from you.
Yes, exactly.
Johnny was like, well, I know Moira wouldn't sleep with anyone else. And Jocelyn then says, like, well, you know,
right.
everybody's powerless to a naked Roland shit.
Yeah.
Or at least she's powerless to
but
that.
But it is nice that Johnny catches himself, because he does start to say, like, there is no way Moira right. would sleep with. And then mm-hmm. he sees her reaction and goes, anyone else?
Right.
So yeah, it is nice that she, mm-hmm. you know, that he doesn't really beat up Roland too much here.
Right.
So now let's go back. Let's go to the kids' room for the first time in the episode where we see
Alexis is studying.
She is. She studies in a way that might be the way I studied, if I ever studied, because I never learned how to study properly.
Right. Yeah.
The fact that she highlighted every single line
in the book word. Is totally and completely highlighted.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure what she's doing, but we also understand that she's still in school. In case we forgot mm-hmm. that she was in school.
Right.
She not only has a highlighted book, but she's really into this economics class.
Right. Like,
this
is yeah. She's studying like business and everything. Sure. I'm so confused about what she's doing there. What classes she has to take to complete her diploma. Listen,
this is just Jocelyn's economics class.
I guess. Jocelyn, I think, is the only staff there. She teaches everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, she, you know, David was kind of saying, like, you really were no help.
Right, yes.
You know, like, just kind of, like, annoyed. Well,
she's using the product and she's referring to sweat equity. What did
she
say
about the, about the lip balm? She even, like, basically, like, smashed it down or right. something, pressed like, it pressed down it down thumb. To even it off so it would look new,
so
I
nobody
guess.
Would know that she used
right.
it.
Right. you know, and he was like, maybe you should buy the lip balm that you mm-hmm. want. You know, you didn't really help with anything. And then that's when she talks about sweat equity.
Right.
And she's like, I just made Patrick do it, which is outsourcing.
Yes. She's throwing all the terminology around. Yes. And I do love it how he's like, how are you doing in that economics class?
Yeah. But then Alexis, the conversation kind of turns to Patrick. And basically she said, you know, Patrick hasn't asked me for my number.
Right.
So he's either newly married or gay.
Right.
To which David kind of thinks about that for a minute. And he's like, I don't know, straight leg, mid-range denim. Yeah. Clearly he's not into me.
Right. Yes.
So, yes. But I think their interests are piqued a little bit about Patrick. You know, Alexis is feeling like, since he has zero interest in her beyond just helping carry boxes.
Sure.
I think now they're a little curious about him.
I love the line where he says to her, like, there won't always be someone for you to flirtatiously boss around. And I love how she goes, David, there will always be someone for me to flirtatiously boss around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's now go to the parents' room.
Right. Now
right
we get
next
back
door.
To the, right next door at the motel.
And this is where Johnny confronts Moira.
Right. So she is there now. So yeah, maybe she was already home when he headed to the cafe.
Yeah, I just found it. The only reason I think that is it doesn't seem to be a big deal that he came back and he's seeing her for the first time. It's not like, oh, when did you get back?
Right.
Or
yeah,
oh, it's nice to see you or something. So I just assume she got back really hungover and he's like, I'm going to go to the cafe.
Yeah. She seemed pretty coherent though for this whole
conversation. Oh, yeah, definitely. So. Yeah. She's busy dumping beer down the drain.
Right.
And, you know, he confronts her and she's like, I mean, she's basically like, why would I even bother telling you this?
I didn't tell you. And she said she was embarrassed.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah. Which is understandable. Yeah. You would think it would be sort of a funny little anecdote, but I understand what she's saying.
Yeah.
Like it's more embarrassing than anything else.
Yeah. For her, I think, she mm-hmm. would definitely be embarrassed by that.
This is where he also tells her that she's dumping his beer down the drain. And I love how she goes, it's symbolic.
Yeah. Yeah, and they talk about, I owe an apology to you and sober people everywhere.
Yes.
I make that reference.
So now David's back at his store, mm-hmm. and surprise, surprise, Patrick shows up again.
David questions whether his license has been revoked.
Right.
But also mentions that, you know, my sister isn't here.
Right, yes. And he has no interest in...
Right, he responds, yeah. I'm not here for your sister.
Right, yes.
But he starts to express that he has a little bit of interest in David's business.
Yes.
He's concerned. And they talked a lot about how they're worried that, you know, David needs at least a year to make a profit. And
yeah,
the way he's going about things from a business perspective may not be the best way to do it.
Yeah, I feel like we glossed over that before. Because that's a conversation when Alexis is there. Mm-hmm. And this is when she's throwing around economic terms and everything like that.
Yes.
But I love how David flips it back and says, well, what does your stupid textbook say about? And then he spills out his whole business mm-hmm. plan and what he's doing. And I like how she's like, well, I haven't made it through the whole book yet.
Right, yeah. But Patrick starts to say, like, I think you need more startup money and you can apply for grants and I can assist you. And then, you know, when grants come through, like you can pay me back basically.
Like you can pay, almost
or pay
like
him.
I'm now in your employ. If I'm going to do all this work, you can start to pay me for this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, David's basically near the end of this. He's like, well, what happens if I don't get the money? Mm-hmm. And then we see that Patrick is very assured that he will definitely get
right.
this money.
Right. He's like, oh, you'll get the grant.
Yeah. Patrick's very good at what he does for a living.
But this is when Patrick also has to admit that he needs to come clean that he picked out the freight
right,
as well.
Yes.
And David's like, okay, well then clearly I can see I'm going to make all the creative decisions and you will handle the business aspect.
I am very excited and do not let me forget that I'm now looking for this. I want to see if that frame ever changes.
Oh,
I want to see if suddenly David makes the change or, you know, to quote Moira, symbolically, it always stays in that same silvery corporate frame.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's evening
and
Moira's in the shower and Johnny's hanging out in the room and Roland basically comes by to, I guess, clear the air.
Yeah, have a man-to-man talk.
I don't really know.
Yep.
Yeah. But I like how, it's just so funny, these conversations that I guess Jocelyn and Roland must have that we, of course, don't see. Because the reason he goes by is he says, Jocelyn told me how upset you were about everything.
Right, yeah. Yeah, to which Johnny kind of says, like, well, I wasn't upset. I was upset because Jocelyn was upset.
Right. Like, Jocelyn was the one that was upset.
Right, that she was upset about it and...
And there's not much really that happens here. He kind of invites himself in and talks, but Johnny's like, there's nothing for us to talk about. This is nothing. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Also, why are you in my room? Like, you should get out of here right now.
Yeah.
And he basically does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the very end of this, I kind of do understand why Moira would have just not liked to have said anything. Because Johnny's trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. He's trying to make jokes. Announcing himself before he gets into bed.
Right, yeah. And she's reading. She's reading a book called A Knock at the Door.
Oh,
which obviously is referenced back to... Yeah, because everything is always like placed for a reason. Her knock at the door. She knocked at the door in
all
the...
All right. No, no, no. I get that. I'm still trying to...
Right? For the salmon plate.
Yeah, but what was the one that she was reading at the desk? We didn't... That's like
bloody... Oh, something about blood. Yeah.
I don't know if that was really...
I'd have to... Blood option.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't know how that's tied in, other than maybe she wanted to murder the motel guest.
Oh, I don't know.
But
yeah, she's reading. The book is called A Knock at the Door.
I absolutely love the last exchange of this. And I love how the way it's cut is that no one is in the room and suddenly Alexis is just in the room right when Moira admits to sleeping with Roland.
Right.
And then we cut away back to them and then cut back and suddenly David appears there too.
He comes in. Yeah. They talk about, is there going to be a custody battle? Do we have to spend our weekends with Roland? Do we call him Uncle Roland?
Uncle Roland. It's so
And then David tells Johnny, don't worry, you'll always be our first dad. And that's kind of where everything ends.
Yes. Yeah. I do like how it's near the
super cute at the
near
end.
Near the end, I forget, Alexis says something to Moira, to which David then turns it around to her and Ted. When he's like, oh, you mean like you and Ted, like working with someone and there's this sexual tension and everything like that. And she's so upset. She's like, we're making fun of mom right now. And that's it. That's how the episode ends.
Yeah.
Wow. This is so great.
So at the end of every one of our episodes, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the best to the least best episode of Schitt's Creek. Mm-hmm. So, Carla, if this episode were a beer, would you dump it down the drain? Or would you decide to have a couple with Roland?
Oh. Hmm. Beer with Roland would probably be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't...
I don't know about the white, sparkling white Russians with Roland.
I can't think of a single character...
Oh, that you wouldn't want to have it. Oh, of course. They would. It would be fun to have a beer with all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Mutt is my least favorite character, but yeah, he'd be pretty boring. Like, I don't know what we'd really talk about.
Composting?
I don't know anything. I mean, unless he's teaching me about composting.
Pine cones. Pine cone collection.
He's not into that.
Yeah. I don't know. But he composts. Do you think he would be into that? All right. Well, anyway. So let's see. I have to figure out where I would put this. It's getting way too hard. There's too much.
There's a lot of stuff.
And then sometimes, like, then I sort of have to really think, like, well, what was that episode about again?
Yeah, no,
and,
definitely.
You know.
I mean, this is a definitive list, though. So
yeah. I would probably go. I think I'm going to put it. Right after I'm like going in order.
Okay.
I have General Store as 9, Motel Review as 10, and I think I'm going to put it as my new number 11.
Oh, okay.
I like this episode. All right. Think it's fun. I think there's some cute little, I like all of the David, Alexis, Patrick interaction. You know, I definitely like all of that. And I think the Roland and Moira stuff is funny and, yeah, I like this episode.
All right. This doesn't happen a whole lot. I think ours are very different.
Oh, you don't like this one?
It's not that I don't like it. It's down at 24, which sounds low, but we've already, this is our 36th episode. So it's not that low, let's say, but it's probably, it's down in the bottom half. Mm-hmm. It's not that I mind this episode at all. Mm-hmm. It's just, this seems like a bridge episode in that it's you were getting more Patrick but you can already tell that's kind of like leading somewhere and not that I don't like the Moira stuff. Like I always like it when we spend time with Moira, but there's something about spending so much time with characters off of the Schitt's Creek property that I don't know why I'm not that into that. But I wasn't.
All right. Yeah. Wow.
So that is my
a little bit of a yeah, we disagree number 24. On this.
Yeah, this is a pretty big
a lot of times space we're pretty
between
close.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you everybody for continuing to listen. We really appreciate all the feedback when we do mess stuff up and when we when we do ask questions during one of our episodes, and people can come on to social media and answer those.
Yeah.
And recently we've gotten a lot more traction and I guess interaction with those Schitt's Creek groups that are on Facebook, like Original Schitt's Creek. And I can't think of the other names of them. Do you know what they're called? I'd like to
Shoot the Shit.
Yeah.
That's exactly, a huge one. Yeah.
And we've started posting our episodes there and people
even before.
Yeah, and that's where people are finding us now, which is so great. And I appreciate if anybody who moderates those is listening, I appreciate that you let us post this stuff. Because every time I post something, I'm like, says like, oh, it's going to a moderator for approval.
Right.
So the fact that you guys do this, we really do appreciate it. So thank you and continue to interact with us there.
Yeah, it is always nice when we get, really, like, people chime in and help us out with things that we didn't know or weren't sure about.
Oh, yeah, no. And I mean, when people say nice things to us, that's great. I mean, I'm really happy if you say that you listen and you like it. That's great. But even just answering questions or, strangely enough, even pointing out where we made mistakes, I'm more than happy to hear
that.
Yeah,
we're not, you know. Yeah. I mean, there are fans that are way more super fan than us. We would never, ever 100%. Say that we are, you know, I know that the love for this show runs deep and, you know, we just were two people that, you know.
I love it when I read stuff where people are like, so I'm just finishing my 9th time through this series. Right. And I'm like, wow, that is dedication.
Yeah.
That, you know, when we're done with this, I will have watched the series twice. Now, I do skip around sometimes, not as often as you do, though. But yeah, there are some people that are rabid fans, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, great. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's tons of things that they notice that, you know, we don't pick up on. And, you know, but it's just our little you know, moment of fun every other week to just sit down and kind of talk and reminisce and, you know, talk about some things that we noticed and what we loved.
Definitely.
So, you know, it's a fun little pastime and we always love the feedback and love the extra little tidbits of information that other people can share and point out to
us. Of course.
Too.
And I always try and use Schitt's Creek memes anytime I'm responding to people now for any reason.
Right.
Because there's so many.
Oh, I know.
I'm so surprised how many there are.
Yeah.
So anyway, just to close things out, we could go on and on, but we won't. Speaking of characters from the show that I do not want to have a beer with, our next episode, the 10th episode.
Season 3, episode 10, Sebastian Rain.
Yep. Sebastian Rain will be our next episode. And you will hear that again in 2 weeks. So until then, everybody have a great 2 weeks.
We're Mr. Guards.